One of the things about printing bulletins ahead of time, several weeks, is I may sometimes get confused. And I put the scripture down that is in the bulletin today for today, and it is for next week. So I invite you to turn back with me to Romans chapter 8 for today. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to return to the passage that we spoke about 2 weeks ago. Josh Kitchen spoke for us last week, but we're going back to Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin reading in verse 26. We read a little larger context 2 weeks ago, beginning in verse 18. But we want to begin reading in verse 26 and continue down through verse 30. Hear the word of the Lord. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. And may Jesus Christ, who is the living Word, speak to us from this passage, which is His written Word. When we speak of the life of the triune God, when we speak of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're dealing with a mystery that is beyond our comprehension. We will never fully understand the depth of God's nature. We will not fully understand it in eternity. We will grow in our understanding of it, or our knowledge of it, but we will never fully grasp the reality of God's nature. But there are truths we can learn, and the truths that we can speak of because of the revelation that is given to us in Scripture. And one of the things we learn about the Holy Spirit in Scripture is that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of communion. He enables us to commune with the triune God. He is, of course, the Spirit of communication. Jonathan Edwards and prior to him, Augustine and a number of others have now addressed this, but Edwards is probably the clearest exposition of it in his works. He says, the love that exists between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. He is the love. That's not an impersonal energy. He is the communion of that love between the Father and the Son. The Father beholds His image in the Son, and the Son reflects back that image to the Father. And there is a glory between them, a glory of love and joy. Jesus speaks of that in John 17. Theologians speak of this union of Father, Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit as perichoresis. Some oftentimes speak of it as the dance that exists between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Spirit conveys this love between Father and Son. He is the communion of the Father and of the Son in the Spirit. The Spirit has also breathed out the Word of God. It is the infallible revelation of God in His work of creation and His work of new creation. And one of the things we learn about the Holy Spirit is that not only did He brood over the creation in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, but He broods over the new creation of the church. And He leads us to know God. He brings us to know God. Not only in salvation, but in our spiritual growth, in our spiritual maturity, in our spiritual comprehension. And one of the things He does is He prays for us. Romans 8, verse 26 says, "We do not know what we ought to pray for." We spoke of this 2 weeks ago in some detail. We do not know what to pray for or how to pray. And there are various contexts in which we find ourselves in which we do not know how to express our prayers. But the passage reassures us that the Spirit prays for us. He prays for us. That is tremendous, tremendous comfort to our hearts, because we don't know how to pray and we don't know what to pray for. It is good to know that the Holy Spirit, along with Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, the Holy Spirit from within intercedes for us. In the past week, we interviewed a candidate for a church plant in New Hampshire. When we asked him about what his thoughts were concerning such an opportunity, here's what he said, and it struck me in a very powerful way. He said, "The first thing that I realize is that my prayer life is not what it should be for such a work as this." And I thought immediately, my prayer life is not what it should be for my work. And the truth is, most of us would confess that our prayer lives are not what they should be for what we are responsible for in work, in family, in ministry, in witness, in giving comfort. We are not where we should be. Now, the Holy Spirit prays for us, and the passage says that He prays for us with groanings that are too deep for words. They do not find voice in the Holy Spirit praying through us or in our voice. They are inarticulate prayers that He prays for us. And the Father, who searches the Spirit, searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because He knows what the Spirit is praying for according to the will of God. Now, the thing that we ended with in our last message was, the Holy Spirit prays for us as we pray. He does not pray for us so that we do not have to pray. He prays for us as we pray. It's not like we don't have to pray because we know the Holy Spirit's praying for us. And we say, "Well, Lord, I'm going to check out in the praying today. Really don't feel like it, and I know the Holy Spirit's praying for me." No, it is as we are praying, as we are wrestling in prayer, as we struggle with articulating our own thoughts, as we struggle with even staying on focus, the Holy Spirit, as we are praying, is praying for us. Not in the place of our praying, but in our inability to pray as we should, He prays for us. There's a little passage in the book of Jude. That's one of the more neglected books in the New Testament. You may read it at some point. It's one chapter, so we don't say Jude chapter. We just say Jude verse 20 and 21. Jude writes and says this, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith," and then he uses these words, and praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Praying in the Spirit. Now, our Pentecostal friends oftentimes think that phrases like praying in the Holy Spirit are phrases like the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be articulated or which words cannot express. They think that's referring to praying in tongues, praying in some heavenly language. But that is not at all what Paul is talking about or Jude is talking about in prayer. He's not talking about the gift of speaking in tongues or even of praying in tongues. He's talking about the Spirit's praying for us, or our praying in the realm of, or in the energy of, or in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit prays with groanings that cannot even come to speech. So what then is this intercession of the Spirit? What is praying in the Holy Spirit? I want to mention three things quickly. First of all, it is praying with a deep consciousness and awareness of the fatherhood of God, in whom we approach with assurance by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our High Priest. There is a profound awareness of the Father nature of God. Now that's crucial. We saw a few weeks ago in Luke chapter 11 that Jesus begins the Lord's Prayer with these words, "Say, Our Father." He roots our praying in the nature of God as Father. Paul speaks of that very thing in Ephesians chapter 3 when he says, "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom all fatherhood is named." Oftentimes it's translated, "from whom every family on the earth is named." But literally it reads, "all fatherhood." In the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, He produces within us a deep awareness of the fatherhood of God. Wieck Dietrich was an associate of Martin Luther. And one day he went to spend some time with Martin Luther in prayer. And he wrote these words about Martin Luther's praying after they'd spent some time praying together. He said, "Luther prays as devoutly as one who is actually conversing with God." He said, "Luther prayed these words, 'I know that you are our God and Father.'" And Wieck Dietrich says that when he prayed these words, "my heart burned within me with great joy because of the familiar and devout tones with which he spoke to God." He was aware that as Martin Luther prayed, that he was in the presence of God as his Father. Because there was a depth to his praying that he had not known in others who he had heard pray. Because the Holy Spirit deepens our awareness of the fatherhood of God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, and we find this within this context here. Romans 8 says, beginning in verse 14, "Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him, by the Spirit, we cry, 'Abba, Father.'" There is an awareness of God as our Father. Now, a number of writers have pointed out, and it became the case in some popular teaching, that the word Abba means daddy. That is not what the word Abba means. It is not to be translated daddy. It's not referring to God as daddy. It is, though, a children's way of praying, and it would probably better be translated in our culture as the word papa. Not daddy, but papa. It was a very intimate, a very childlike form of addressing with assurance, with confidence, God as our Father. The Spirit within us cries, Abba, Father. There's a deep consciousness of His fatherhood and our sonship in light of that. I knew a missionary growing up. His name was Tom Willie. We knew him as Pop Willie, and we knew his wife as Mom Willie. Both have now passed away. Pop Willie was a missionary to Cuba. And recently, when renegotiation for opening up our relationship with Cuba was sort of restarted, I immediately thought of Tom Willie and his work in Cuba. He had literally walked over various areas of Latin America and Cuba, sowing the precious seed of the gospel. A missionary friend of ours, of our family, said one time he was with Tom Willie, and they were getting ready for bed. They were at a motel where Tom Willie had been speaking at a conference. And he said Tom Willie took off his socks and shoes to get ready for bed. And his friend said, I have never seen such gnarly and twisted feet in all of my life. He said, but just that quickly, there came to mind the passage from Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who publish peace, who bring good news of joy, who publish salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. One time, another friend of mine who has passed away, Joe Ainge, a pastor in a group that I used to be with, said that he was with Tom Willie and they decided to pray. He said, Tom Willie said, Joe, would you join me in prayer? So Joe sat down. And then he realized what was going to take place. Tom Willie laid out on the floor, completely prostrate before God. And Joe Ainge said, I didn't know what to do. And he said, I finally got on my knees, and I'm glad I did. Because we waited for about 5 minutes before Tom Willie prayed. And he said, there welled up deep from within him a groan that I have never heard before in my life. And then Tom Willie said, oh my God. And he said, the room was flooded with the presence of God. One of the reasons why I won't get down on my face and pray like that is because I'd be trying to copy Tom Willie. But the truth is, this man who had invested his life in witnessing to the people of Cuba and Latin America and had suffered greatly for it, learned what it was to pray in the Spirit. And there was a deep consciousness of knowing God. The Holy Spirit's desire for you is that you know God. You do not realize how much He longs for you to know God. He longs for me to know God. He longs for us to enter into a deep, deep covenantal awareness of who God is. And we do not know God as we should. The second aspect of praying, and we just quickly need to mention this, in the spirit of the Spirit interceding for us, is there's a deep awareness of the love of God. You see, when the Holy Spirit brings us into this communion, He makes us aware of how much God loves us. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 38. At the end of this chapter, Paul says this, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Holy Spirit, as He prays for us, as He intercedes for us when we're praying, makes us conscious of how much God loves you and us, and how much He loves us. I had a friend one time who was teaching me some things about prayer, and they said this, "Raymond, when you're struggling in prayer, why don't you say this, 'Lord God, would you show me how much you love me? Would you make me aware of how much you love me?'" That wasn't some kind of narcissistic prayer. It was an awareness of God's love for His children. And the Holy Spirit, as He prays for us, makes us conscious of God's love. And then finally, He makes us aware of God's sovereign purpose, that of conforming us to the image of Christ. That's why Romans 8:28 is linked to these verses. We've memorized Romans 8:28, and rightly so. We know that all things work together for good, or we know that God, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, of those who've been called according to His purpose, according to His will. Here's the point. Praying is not praying to get what we want or what we desire. When the Holy Spirit prays for us, we go to God in prayer. We're praying different things. "Lord, would you do this? Would you do that?" And the Holy Spirit begins to pray, and He says, "Lord, would you accomplish your purpose in this person's life, in his or her life, as you conform them to the image of Jesus Christ?" So we're here praying for something, and we want it so deeply and so desperately, but God has a greater purpose, that is conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. In praying, God gives to us not always what we want, but what He has decided is most necessary for us. He gives us what is best for our lives. We noted a few weeks ago in Luke 11 that if a son asks a father for an egg, does the father give him a stone? If he asks for bread, does the father give him a serpent? Absolutely not. Now Matthew says, so the father gives good gifts, or the best gifts to us. Luke doesn't say it that way. Luke says, so will the Father give the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean we ask for the Holy Spirit like a baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not at all what he's referring to. What he's saying is, when we pray, God gives the Holy Spirit, who then gives to us what God has determined is best for our lives. One of my favorite hymns is the hymn, "Whate'er My God Ordains Is Right. His wisdom never faileth." And then it comes to the end of that line, and it says that after we've prayed, wherefore to Him I leave it all. You see, the Holy Spirit will give you what's best. He will give me what's best. That's why Romans 28 says, He is giving to us that which is good. And what's the good thing? That we be conformed to the image of His Son. God is always working for the good of those who love Him, for those who are called according to His purpose. And that will not fail in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we're grateful for the work of the Holy Spirit. And so often we have neglected Him. We have neglected His promptings. We have neglected His work in our hearts. And yet today, as we're reminded of the intercession and the prayer of the Holy Spirit for us, we pray that You would accomplish in us those very things that He longs to do in our hearts. To be deeply aware of Your fatherhood over our lives. We read in our prayer this morning of the day that You are the protector of all who trust in You. So as our Father, would You be our protector and our provider? And would You continue to fulfill Your purposes in us? We thank You for Your love. And we pray that we would always learn the height and depth and width and breadth of the love of God, which surpasses all knowledge. And we thank You that You're conforming us to Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Let us take our Psalter hymnal.